Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, it is such an awesome privilege to be able to come to you to have the gift and the weapon of prayer, Lord, and to be able to use it. Lord, help us to use it and not surrender it to the other side through prayerlessness. And Lord, help us to glean from your word again today as we look at once again, another prayer in your word, and as you speak to us wherever we are in your word, and the prayers are always a good place to be. And so thank you for that, and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have a few hymnals scattered around. If you want to grab a 107 is where we're going to be today, and if you don't have one, the words are on page 2 of your notes. I hope you have the notes. But we're talking about God's faithfulness. We're talking about Jesus being with us, delivering us, and completing whatever he's going to do through us. So he is able to deliver, is he not? So let us begin with singing, "He is able to deliver thee."
Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main, tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again, our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. To deliver thee, he is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee.
Is he able or what? Huh? More than able. Well, we will see evidence of that in today's study in Matthew. If you would turn to chapter 14, we want to look at this long prayer by Peter. Lord, save me. Very long prayer, but a powerful, powerful story here. And so my question is, how great is your faith? There's one word here which is translated in verse 31, O you of little faith, but it's just one word in the original, oligopisto, and so that could be Peter's new name, O you of little faith, oligopisto, or it could be my name, more than likely, O ye of little faith. But as we see the story here, we have just had, in the beginning of chapter 14, Herod the Tetrarch has beheaded John the Baptist. And when Jesus heard that in verse 13, it says he departed from there by boat and went across the sea to a departed place. And the multitudes heard it, and they followed him around, walking around. They could see the little boat where he was going, and they could walk around the shore there. And, of course, then he taught them. He had compassion on them. There were 5,000 men plus women and children. Now, that's a big group. We often think of feeding the 5,000, but when we think of that, we ought to multiply that by at least 1.5, maybe 2, so it's probably more like 10,000 or maybe even more than that, I don't know, depending on how many kids were there. But Jesus teaches them, and they're in a deserted place, and it's at the end of the day, and so the disciples say, it's time to send them home so they can get something to eat. And of course, what does Jesus say? You feed them. Now, if you were there, what would you have thought when Jesus said, feed these 10,000 people? There's no In-N-Out Burger Wagon. There's no McDonald's. There's no nothing. How great is your faith? And of course, then we see this tremendous, tremendous miracle. I don't even think we can grasp the miracle, even when we tried to think about it totally. But here's the 10,000 people, whatever, being not only fed, but there's 12 baskets full left over. And these baskets are sizable baskets. They're not just some little tiny thing. And 12, that's an interesting number. And so the 12 disciples must have each had a basket, I would think. It doesn't say that, but I would think they would. And so here they are picking this up, and they must be thinking, yeah, the king is here. The king is here. The kingdom is coming. Yeah, now am I going to be on his right side or his left side? You know, which side am I going to be? I want that position of honor, but he's coming. The kingdom is coming. This, look at this miracle. Yes, he's calmed the waves. He's done all this. But now he's fed all these people. This is unbelievable. So what does Jesus do? Well, it says he immediately made his disciples get into the boat and go to the other side. He wanted to get them out of there. He wanted to send the people home because they were about to take him by force to make him king. And it wasn't time yet for that. We read in John's gospel that the men were so impressed with this, they were saying, this is the prophet, this is the prophet. This is the one Moses spoke of. This is the Messiah, in other words. But it wasn't his time yet. So first thing he does is he gets the disciples out of there. I'm sure they were really beginning to glory in all of this. Man, look at our boss. Boy, look at what he's able to do. This is amazing. So he tells them to go to the other side. And so now we're going to see a storm. And I don't know if you're going through a storm right now or not. If you're not, you will. And we know there are a couple of different kinds of storms that the Lord allows us. There are storms of correction like Jonah where he's going the wrong way. He gets in a storm, so he turns around. Or in today's study, we got more of a storm of protection because they're in the will of God now, right? They get on the boat as Jesus tells them to get on the boat. And what does he do? He goes alone to pray. So first point is Jesus brings us where we are. He's with you. He hasn't left you. He hasn't dumped you. You're here today, right? You may have been through a lot, but you're here, right? He hasn't left you nor forsaken. So he brings us where we are. And then he prays for us, we see in the account here today. And we know in Hebrews it says, therefore he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to him, since he always lives, what? To make intercession for us. Now, if you were going through the worst storm of your life right now in this room, happened to be in this room, and you knew for a fact that Jesus was in that next room, right on the other side of that door praying for you, how would you feel? Feel pretty good, wouldn't you? Jesus is praying for me. What am I worried about, right? But of course, when we get into these storms, quite often we don't think of that. And here we see the example. Now, it says when evening came, they were already in the middle of the sea. So there hadn't been, it was nice weather, calm. So they're on their way, sailing. Jesus said, go to the other side. We're halfway there. It's not even dark yet. But now, a wind comes up in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, and that sea can go from calm to tremendously active in instantaneously. And so Jesus says, don't worry, I'll calm the sea. Is that what he says? No. Does he say, don't worry, turn around, come to shore? Well, he's praying for them. But now we get to the fourth watch of the night. That's 3 a.m. Think how long that storm has been going on. 6, 9 hours probably. And they're out there about to drown, laboring away. How would you like to be in the middle of the Sea of Galilee when the waves are all over the place for 6 to 9 hours? I thought we were in the will of God. I thought this was going to be a smooth crossing. So you will have storms even though you're absolutely in the will of God. But notice what happens here. He prays for them, and then he comes to them. In the fourth watch of the night, he walks on the water to them. Now, they didn't recognize him, and they actually thought he was a ghost. But he then immediately, we keep getting immediately in this particular account, immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, be of good courage, be of good cheer, do not be afraid, it is I. So Jesus will be saying that to you. Be encouraged. Be of good cheer when you're going through these storms. Now, Peter's response is interesting. He answered him and said, Lord, since it is you, it should really be, or if and you are, since it is you are you, then command me to come to you on the water. Now that's an interesting question, isn't it, or response. I wouldn't have done that with all those waves out there. I'm sorry, I would be this man of little faith. And so what does the Lord say? No, it's too rough out here for you. You'll drown. Don't come. No, what does he say? Come. Now here you're in this huge storm, and you're saying, Jesus, if this is really you, have me come to you, thinking that, well, he certainly won't ask me to come out into that. And Jesus says, come. And Peter responds. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Wow, is that something else? Well, we know the story, however, because he then takes his eyes off Jesus and he sees the wind was boisterous and he was afraid and began to sink. And he cries out this long prayer. Oh, thou omniscient and awesome God, you know. No, he says, Lord, save me. We don't need to give the Lord a whole lot of words. I mean, it's all right to cover a lot of things in prayer, but we don't have to go into every little detail with the Lord. He already knows, right? So he just wants to hear your heart truly and hear this is a true prayer because I'm drowning. Lord, save me. So in your storms, there will be times when you just need to cry out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. It just looks hopeless. I mean, there's nothing I can see that offers any hope. Just save me. And what does the Lord do? Now, the Lord, of course, is a very small, weak man, right? No, he picks out his hand. Now, Peter's a big guy. I mean, he's going to carry all these fish in by himself, pulling to shore. But Jesus just lifts him up, as he will lift you up, stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, Oligopisto, oh, you little faith. And isn't that the way we are, oh, us of little faith? Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt, or why are you double-minded, is really the word there. And you might even translate that as you think about that, one eye on the waves and one eye on Jesus won't really get it done too well because you're going back and forth, right? You're doubting. Jesus looks good, but ooh, look at that, you know. And are you like that? Are you double-minded? Are you keeping your eye on Jesus? Are you keeping one eye on the world? And that's a tough place to be. But Jesus says, oh, you have little faith, why do you doubt? And that's the end of the discussion. But look what Jesus does. He will see you through. When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. Now, of course, we have had this pretty much same account back in chapter 8. But at that time, they went across the sea, and Jesus was in the boat, right? He was in the boat. And so I believe Jesus is preparing them for, of course, the time that he won't be with them, right? Now, how is he preparing you? He will not give you the greatest test of your life, the first test he gives you. He's too kind and gracious for that. He'll give you a lot of little ones. They'll build up, though. They'll build up. And here, you know, the disciples didn't do too well on the first time across because they freaked out. And, Master, you're sleeping and we're drowning. And Jesus calmed the sea, and they were astounded. He calmed the sea and the waves. Now they're right in the same position now, but this time they're in his will for sure, but he's not with them. How are they going to do without him? And they didn't do too well. But they didn't turn around. And Peter even responded to him and said, if it's you, I'll come and see you. And Jesus says, come. And he actually walked on water. So they're getting better, right? Now, I think as we go through the storms in life, as we keep our eyes on Jesus, we know he will bring us through. That's not a question. But how are you going to hinder what he wants to do in you? How are you going to grieve the Holy Spirit through disobedient sin? Because we can do that, can't we? We can slow the process down. God's still going to complete the good work in us. But if we keep our eyes on him, and faith is, of course, saying based on things we don't see, but here we see that Peter did see some danger there. I mean, he saw the danger, but he also saw the Lord, the at the same time, oftentimes we don't see the Lord physically, but we see the danger. We see the big waves, but we don't see Jesus, but he's there. And so then he says, oh, you have little faith, why do you doubt? There's no reason to doubt Jesus, is there? Has he ever failed you? Will he ever fail you? Is it possible for him to fail you? I don't think so. Now, the other way doesn't work quite so well. Is it possible for me to fail? Well, pretty much every time. But still, he loves us, and by his grace, he saves us, and he will see us through. So when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Father, we thank you for this account, and we do thank you for the storms, even though we don't like them. We want smooth sailing, Lord. We want good weather. We want good health. We want prosperity. And you want us to have all of those things to a degree, Lord, but yet that's not the main thing. The main thing is to have you. The main thing is to have our eyes on you. The main thing is to be obedient to you and to do what you would have us to do and to go where you would have us to go, recognizing that as we go in your will, we will encounter storms. But you will pray for us. You will allow us, help us to grow through them, and you will see us through. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now this morning, Lord, we want to give these moments to you in prayer as we gather and pray for whatever you have. There's so much going on in the world that's evil, and yet we thank you for what you're doing, Lord, and we do not pray take the evil away necessarily. We pray that we would respond to that evil with the good news. And that as you work through leaders of this world, in some cases going totally the wrong way, totally favoring false gods over you, and yet, Lord, you're allowing that. But through that, you're causing refugees to turn to you. You're causing people just freaking out in fear to turn to you. And so we thank you for that. So, Lord, we just want more of what you're doing. And that means saving souls and seeing people discipling others. And may we do our part in prayer. So lead us now in this time of prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.